Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. My name is April. My co-hosts and friends, Jason and Natalie, are not with me today, but you are in for a true treat, my friends. Somebody that we've never welcomed to the podcast before is joining us, and she is an expert in personal development, habits, practices, and routines. Aransas Savas is joining us today. Hello.
I'm so excited to be here with you in the Berry Nation.
Oh, we are thrilled. We were introduced by a mutual friend. We've had several conversations and we are very much aligned in so many things, but especially when it comes to this question of how do I change my habits or routines or adopt practices to help me become the person that I want to become or that I know I need to become, especially after undergoing something so drastic as bariatric surgery. When I reached out to our mutual friend, I said, hey, here's what I'm interested in learning about. And she was like, oh, you have to talk to Aransas. This is your woman. And she is 1,000% right. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being a part of this episode. Before we dive in, I'd love to just give the microphone to you and introduce yourself, please.
Absolutely. Thank you. So I have spent the last 20 years working in behavior change and motivation. I have worked with many of the world's largest companies to help create experiences that are meaningfully motivating. And so when I say that, what I mean is, you know, creating customer experiences that people actually care about getting what they want, not what companies want them to get. I spent the bulk of my career at Weight Watchers working on that workshop meetings business for many, many years and really staying very close to my heart with people who were on a wellness journey. And I joined the company after my own wellness journey, after losing a bunch of weight with them and wanted to give back. Like so many people. And yes. I found in there so many opportunities to connect with other people who really cared about total well-being and about taking care of themselves, body, mind, and spirit. And so since leaving WW and now working with other organizations, I also work individually with clients, one-on-one and in small groups. And I host the Uplifters podcast, which is just a big ray of light and joy in my life where I get to talk to purpose-driven leaders, mostly women, about how they take care of themselves and share their amazing stories to support and celebrate all of the good in the world.
I am a huge Uplifters fan as of late. I just returned from Arizona and every morning I went for a walk. I paid myself in the morning and I listened to your podcast and about every 15 minutes I found I had to stop, pull out my notes on my phone, go back a little bit, jot down what you said. It is just such an amazing experience to listen to because the topics are far ranging, but it's really about exactly that same thing. How do we go from where we are now to where we want to be in a kind and curious and loving way, right? That not only helps ourselves, but really helps everybody else around us. Because in one of the most recent podcast episodes you dropped, you really talked about how we can't do anything in isolation. Just something we talk about often in Berry Nation. You need the community behind you, alongside you, right? There to pick you up and uplift you when things get difficult. And it can be hard to kind of open yourself up to that because sometimes community isn't always kind. Right. And it's not a safe place, but that community is just kind of what makes this really awesome change possible. And your podcast talks about it often. It's why Berry Nation exists, to provide that community for bariatric patients wanting to go from who they were before to the person that they want to be today. So yeah, if you guys don't listen, don't know about the Uplifters podcast yet, now is a really great day to do that. Go listen, go watch, go follow, all that kind of great stuff. Yes. So really today's conversation is going to be grounded in something that we all struggle with. And that is, how do I either change a habit, a routine that I have in place? Or how do I really shift my mindset and think more about establishing practices in my life for doing the things that I know I want or need to do if I want to be a successful bariatric patient? So if you're ready to dive in, I say, let's do it.
I can't wait. I could talk about this stuff all day. Oh, wait, I do.
Wait a minute.
You're right.
When our friend connected us, I was like, oh, this is meant to be. So really where this started for me as of late is I was doom scrolling late at night as I normally do, and I came across an article that talked about the power of entrepreneurs and people in business establishing practices over like habits and routines. And I went down this rabbit hole, and then I found a blog post or an article written by Ryan Holiday that was really about why practices can be so powerful and how it could actually be a better way to get to where we want to go. So that was where it started. And I knew after reading those two things that I needed to talk, we needed to talk to somebody who really has expertise in this area. So we always like to start this podcast by making sure we're speaking the same language.
Love that.
What is a habit, a routine, and a practice?
Love it. And you know what? We could even add addiction because it's sort of the farthest reach of that, right? So we'll start with a habit, though. A habit is a repeated unconscious behavior, right? So it's made up of a set of behaviors. It comes with some sort of trigger that reminds us unconsciously to repeat it again and again. As I said, it's not conscious. We don't have a level of awareness that it's happening necessarily because we've done it so many times. It probably started out as a routine. Not all routines, though, have the potential to become conscious, become unconscious, so therefore can't become habits. Now, I bring up addiction because I think it's just sort of an interesting far-reaching piece of this, which is a habit that is repeated even after it doesn't suit us anymore or it becomes harmful to us.
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Berry Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life, become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to learn more. Oh my God.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm just letting this sink in because this is putting some pieces in place.
So then, if we bring up practices, or you'll more often hear me talk about them as experiments. And the reason we talk about practices is because a practice is not necessarily a routine. It's not steady and stable. I talk a lot about scaffolding, right? And how our schedules and our life constraints can become a scaffolding that kind of hold us in place. And when things start to get weird, we can grab onto the edge of the scaffolding and maybe it'll kind of keep us connected to what we were trying to achieve. A practice is a precedent, ideally, to a routine. So many of the routines we fall into are because they're convenient and because they're obviously available to us. Why I get so excited about practices and experiments is because it's taking a really conscious approach to creating routines. And it's saying, how do I want to grow? How do I want to change or be different or even see the world differently? And what experiments could I start to run to help me understand my context and what will make it harder and easier for me to do what I want? And so, through the process of just sort of practicing a new way of being, it allows us to. I like clothes. And so, I always turn to the clothes metaphors. I think about going into a dressing room. I mean, at 48, I have a pretty decent idea of what's going to look good on me and what isn't. And yet, I'm always going to want to try things on.
Because you
And
never
so
know, right?
you
You're
never
so you could
know.
be surprised. You could be surprised. Something looks awful on the rack, you put it on, you're like, oh my God.
And a size 8 shoe is like not always a size 8 shoe. There's a lot of variability. And so we go in, we try it on, and we're like, how do I feel in this? Does it feel like a fit? Do I feel confident? Do I feel like I'd want to wear this all the time and come back to it again and again? Does it feel like it would be a good complement to the other stuff I have in my wardrobe, or is it just another blue sweater that looks just like every other blue sweater? And so, practicing and experimentation to me are the process of building conscious routines that may or may not eventually become habits, that may or may not eventually become addictions.
Oh my God. Okay. My mind is going 1,000 miles an hour. I guess I never really so clearly connected habit and unconsciousness as one. I beat myself up so often because I'm frustrated that I just haven't developed this habit yet. But it takes, based on just what you're saying, I'm missing two steps before I even get to habit, and that is establishing a practice of just trying something that I think could help, and then running that experiment until I really dial in that practice so that it fits best with my life in this moment. And then it can move to this routine area, right? Where it's like, okay, I am starting to establish this as something I do more often than not. It's feeling a little bit better. It's maybe a little bit easier to incorporate into my life. But I could be in the practice in the routine realm for a very long time before it finally gets pushed to that unconscious part of my life.
Correct. And I think we expect ourselves to get to that place of unconscious of just doing it because we've always done it so early. And then we judge ourselves and we feel frustrated because we're like, what's wrong with me? And that is the opposite of what you started with. You said, we want a community that is kind and curious and loving. And if we can't extend that to ourselves, no community is going to correct that. And so to me, the act of practicing is being kind and curious and loving.
Holy shit. It just makes so much sense, I guess. I feel like I've been fighting routines. I've been fighting habits my whole life. And there are some habits that still exist 4.5 years post-op VSG that are unconscious. And I notice I reach for things, I think things, I do things just automatically. And I get so frustrated because in my brain, and I think in many bariatric brains, we tell ourselves, oh, you're just falling back into old habits. You're falling off the wagon. And I've been really trying to shift my mindset and help our community shift the mindset. It's not that we're falling back into anything. It's that we really are attempting to establish these new habits, this new way of living. And that's a completely different mindset than, oh, I'm just falling back into my old ways. No. You're living as you always have, but you're attempting to do so now in a different way. And not only that, but you've set an unrealistic expectation of this unconsciousness that could take years to actually get to.
And if we're judging ourselves for not doing it, all of the reactionary behaviors that follow that sense of self-judgment, I think too, it's ex so much of what we expect ourselves to do is not a good fit for our lives because we haven't given ourselves the time and the space to get really conscious about what works for us. And we are rebellious creatures. So the second somebody tells you something's good for you, or a certain way of doing something is right, there is a part of your brain that is going to turn on to fight that and prove that that's not the case, even if you want them to be right.
Oh, I could tell you some stories.
Me too, girl.
That is eye-opening because as a bariatric patient, you are handed a very succinct list of thou shall not. And instantly I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, we'll see about that, right? We'll see. Even though I know these are things I have to do, there is absolutely that rebellion mindset, right? Because for me, I want to think like, no, like I'll be fine. I can do it this way and I'll still be successful, right? Or that doesn't make any sense for me. I'm going to try to do it this way instead of just kind of surrendering a little bit, acquiescing to, I need to experiment with living this way for a little bit before I even come at it with that resistance. But instantaneously, my brain went there. And I think a lot of people's did as well.
Oh, it's because in part we are creative beings too. We want to find our own forged path. And takes energy and attention to do that. But if we're burning all of our energy and resistance and trying to push away what isn't right for us instead of creating new energy by building something intentionally, then we're going to feel exhausted.
And constantly.
Right. And so I think for me, what I find so often with my clients is that it comes down to asking some really foundational questions. And it's something like, what do you want to have happen? What gets in the way? Right. And getting really clear about what is it that's getting in the way? And I promise you, nobody knows that answer when I ask them. They may recognize one or two things and we start there, but then they go do it. And they discover 50 other things that are not set up to support this plan. Mm-hmm. And I will work with clients sometimes for weeks and weeks, just identifying more and more data about what works, what makes it easier, what makes it harder, and refining the plans. And that, I think, is that's the work. And then knowing that, yeah, sometimes we're going to do a thing for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, a year, and then the context is going to change. And what we need is going to change. And so that's why I get so excited about this practice or experimentation approach, is because we're saying to ourselves, I'm in charge. I'm mm-hmm. the learner. I have a lot of self-knowledge. I know what I need. And I also know that that's always changing. And that my job is to just notice symptoms and signals about what's working, what isn't, and adapt.
Yes.
That puts us in control, not at the hand of somebody else telling us what to do.
Mm-hmm. And it really puts us as patients in a very powerful position against the disease that we will be fighting for the rest of our lives. And that is obesity, mm-hmm. right? The disease isn't going anywhere, and it will continue to attempt to regain a powerful position in our lives as we age. So not only is our life going to change and our circumstances are going to change, but the disease is going to flex and change with us
as
well.
Your body's
going
to change too.
Oh my God. Your hormones, your mind. I mean, everything. Like, life is change. That is constant. And I think where so many of us, myself included, get hung up is that last thing that you said, assuming or going into this knowing this will also change. What works for me today is not going to work for me in 6 months or a year or whatever. Maybe it will. But I think the point of this is if you go into this knowing this practice, this routine, this habit is going to eventually change, you're not disappointed or you're not upset when you realize, oh, something needs to change here because it's time.
Let's normalize being humans.
Let's normalize being humans, right? And we just want things, and I think I understand why that, you know, it can be calming to think, okay, this is how it's going to be forever. Like, I can finally like check this off the list. I don't have to think about this anymore. Like, okay, no, like, okay, this is it. That in a way is calming, right? It's soothing. It's like, okay, it's one less thing, but that's not realistic. That's not feasible. That's not reality. You're attempting to jam your life and your practices, your habits and routines into something that's not actually real.
You're also stealing a little bit of the joy.
Hey, Berry friends, it's Natalie, and it is the holiday season. Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for your Berry pal? Maybe you finally realized that you also deserve to get something special this holiday season. Why not give the gift of bariatric support with an annual membership to the Berry Nation support community? With over 80 live ways to connect, learn, and grow with bariatric dietitians, mental health experts, movement specialists, surgeons, and peers, you and your loved ones are bound to find the support needed for a successful and supported bariatric life. For just over $1 a day, you and your Berry fam can enjoy the gift that keeps on giving with the Berry Nation Support Community annual membership. Head to the Berry Nation website, berrynation.com, to learn more.
Because when we get really conscious, we can be aware of what's working. We can be more present with what's happening and get more out of the individual experiences. And so, in some ways, practices can be much more satisfying than an unconscious habit.
I can speak to this. And the line that you gave in one of your most recent podcasts really kind of opened this Pandora's box for me in I guess the best possible way. But you had said you never really commit to anything to infinity and beyond. And I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, yes. Right? But you said, like, yes. I want to choice into things every day.
Mm-hmm. For now.
For now. For now. And when I heard that line, I went, oh, it was like the, I was missing that variable in this equation that I've been trying to work out in my life for so long. And it was that I don't have to commit to doing it this way forever. I can commit to practicing. I can commit to experimenting, and I can commit to leaning into this word that you just gave me, this routine, and see if it really does become unconscious. There are plenty of things that I would love to automate. Vitamins, getting in my water, right? Like understanding really what hitting protein is, movement, all that kind of stuff. But it is going to shift. And this last week that I spent in Arizona, between listening to your words, thinking about this topic, thinking about practices, things are really starting to kind of, the fog is lifting, so to speak, because I made an intention to myself. I said, I want to move my body every day this year. I want to move my body every day. And I keep walking that back to saying, I want to move my body. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be every day. And I tapped into this practice idea, because whereas if I developed a routine or a habit with movement, it would imply that like a trigger is there. So this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then I can move.
Right. That's a lot of dependencies.
So much dependency. And as soon as one of those little things goes away, then the whole routine goes out the window. Right. And I was like, this doesn't work. If I write on my calendar, I'm going to move today at 4 p.m. And if 4 p.m. comes and goes and I miss it, it's almost like I give myself an escape hatch to not do it, because it's like, oh, well, that was when I was supposed to do it. That was what the routine was. Guess I can't do it now. And I was like choicing out of doing this thing that is so good for me at its core, because I was attaching it to this system or this framework, this scaffolding. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this makes no sense. I need to practice movement. And it freed me from that rigidity. And it just said, you're going to move today. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very different.
Uh-huh. It also, I think, turns on that little playful piece of yourself that lets mm-hmm. you create and imagine what that might look like within the context of today, which is different than tomorrow and yesterday. The other thing I love about what you're doing here, April, is you're picking one thing. So mm-hmm. Before you were like, we can want to take the vitamins and drink the water and get the macros and take the, right? And I think this happens so often when we're experiencing big change that we get so overwhelmed that mm-hmm. we fall into a place of shutdown. And so we do nothing, because mm-hmm. we're asking so much of ourselves. I used to do it with my kids. I'd be like, pick up your books and brush your teeth and make your bed. None of those things happened. But if I say, before you open your iPad, brush your teeth and tell me about it. Mm-hmm. Right? I turned it into a process. And that got much better results, because they knew what I was prioritizing. They knew what I expected. And they were able to follow through on a plan. But so often we give ourselves so many mixed messages about what's important.
Yes. Yep. And it opens the door for that all or nothing thinking, right? I have to do all of these things. And if I can't do all of them, then I do nothing. Right. And that sets you up for failure, because that keeps you exactly where you have always been, which is feeling stuck.
Yeah. And it comes from such a good place, from all this desire for growth. Mm-hmm. It's just that the way we're approaching it isn't always helpful.
No. And we say this all the time in Berry Nation. If we want to live a different life, we have to live a different life. Mm. And we are all really starting to understand that that really does apply to almost every facet of our life. It doesn't mean we have to do our entire life different all at once. It means we focus on these areas that either are the highest priority for us right now because of where we're at after surgery, right? If you're focusing on movement and you're 2 weeks post-op, that's probably not the smartest thing to be focusing on. The smartest thing is going to be rest, recovery, protein, then hydration, then vitamins, and then right when you're cleared, movement. So you can prioritize what you want to focus on, but to just say, I have to do it all at once right away and get to the unconscious level of doing it, oh my God, that's just No wonder why we feel like we are always failing.
So one of the things I like to do in those situations is I like to make a backlog for myself because this may just be a me thing. I've never talked about this really, but I have this little worry in the back of my mind that I'm going to forget these things. And so I create the backlog so that I can say, okay, it's there when the time is right. And that way I just sort of like clear it from the deck. And I feel like I have a greater sense of trust that I'm going to return to it when I need it, but I don't have to like let it linger and hang out rent-free, making me feel guilty.
I love it, and I do the exact same thing. And I think many of us in the bariatric community do it as well. We know that there are so many things, and truly, it's not an over an exaggeration. Many of us are onboarding really an entirely new way of living, and the laundry list of things to tackle is already monumental when you commit to having surgery. And as you continue to move through your bariatric life, you realize, oh, obesity and my bariatric life kind of touches every facet of my life, which can be overwhelming. But when you do exactly what you just described, you create that backlog. You're ensuring that I'm not going to forget this. I know that this is here, but it does just allow us to move it out of our brain, and it gives us permission to do exactly what you said. I'm going to focus on this later.
Thank you next, or thank you
Right?
now,
Yeah.
actually. I want to talk about something else that's related to this that we've kind of danced around, but I think is a very real risk when we start to practice, which is if we are passionate about what we're doing and we have a lot of desire behind the change that we want to make, we can easily get into a place of analysis paralysis when we're moving into a learner mindset. And so, what that looks like, I'm sure you know, but I'll say it just so that we're all on the same page. It is that place where we start to ask ourselves, like, is this the right path? Is this the wrong path? Well, okay, so my practice for today is going to be walking. Well, I wonder if it's better to do it in the morning or the night. I wonder if I'm more likely if I attach it to the dog walking, if I'm more like, right. And we just start thinking about all the possibilities. Eventually, again, we're going to be so exhausted that we're just like, forget it. I'm going to keep doing what I've always done, which is not walking. And so, one of the things I really challenge people to do if they're going to take on this experimentation mindset is to really use the experiences and the experiments loosely and to say, all right, this is the experiment I'm going to run. And it doesn't matter if it's right. It doesn't matter if it's the best experiment. It doesn't matter if it's what everybody else is doing or it's going to have the best long-term outcomes. I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And I find this works as a mindset shift so well in every domain of life, whether it's how we look for jobs, how we take care of our bodies, our relationships, just saying, hey, I'm going to run this experiment and tell someone that you're going to run it and what kind of data you're going to collect. Because the other thing that can happen that is a very real risk here is that we move the freaking targets over and over. And
Oh,
we're like,
yes.
I went for a walk and I don't feel 50 pounds lighter or 50% more energetic. Clearly a failed experiment.
I feel like you're living in my head. So awesome. Okay. Yes,
I'm glad.
spot
I'm
on.
glad that I'm glad it's true. And so when we our brains are composed of two sides, you probably know this, logic and emotion. When the emotional side is in charge, it like eats the logic side.
Gotcha.
But right, oftentimes if we kind of acknowledge the emotional side chills a little bit and lets the logic side hang out beside it, and we come up with really powerful ideas and greater truth. And so when we're creating a plan, we can kind of turn on that logic brain and we can acknowledge like, yeah, this is something that's hard for me. This is something that I haven't done in the past. That's cool. Now I'm going to turn on this plan part of my brain and I'm going to get really clear with myself and say, what is it I want myself to do? How will I know that it's been successful? And usually if that's an outcome-based measure, we're going to get frustrated. And so it's much more powerful to give ourselves a process-based measure. So I showed up for it. Oh, okay, cool. I didn't do the walk. Now that doesn't mean we failed.
It just means we didn't show up for it. Okay.
We didn't show up for it. So why? What got in the way? What made it harder? What could make that easier? And it's that unpacking without judgment, with just an acceptance of the context and how we live and who we are and the habits that we've built over the course of our lives and the examples we've seen that have made us shape what our ideas are of what's possible. All of that's feeding in. And so it's just like, okay, what is it? Wow. How can I make this easier? Because we're not doing it because we're bad people, right? Like, that's not, it's not about who we are. It's just about what we've been doing.
Why do we complicate this so much? I mean, when you're explaining it, it's like, oh, this is like a no-brainer. But why do we not think about that? Why do we make this practice and routines and habits so difficult?
Habit.
Because we've just unconsciously done it because we love to beat up on ourselves.
It's what we've always done. I mean, why do we beat up on ourselves? Yes, habit. It's usually a repeated pattern in terms of the voices that we talk to ourselves with. And most of us have used the same voice with ourselves our entire lives. And so that's the other part of this, right? Is that we're just offering ourselves a more accepting way of talking to ourselves.
It really does come down to what we say to ourselves. It really does come down to our mindset constantly.
Mm-hmm. You hear your voice more than any other person's.
Yes. Yeah. And we often talk about in Berry Nation, especially in our support groups and classes and meetups, you know, people, the one of the biggest questions we get all the time is like, well, how do you even know what you're thinking? It's like you actually have to build time in to stop yourself and go, what am I actually saying to myself right now? Yeah. What are the things that are moving through it? Right. That's step number one.
Totally. I also though like sharing scripts. And so I like to get people to say what it sounds like in their head, because I have found in my own life that my idea of what things sound like is really different than what it actually sounds like in my head.
Oh, interesting.
So I had this like really narrow vision of what negative self-talk looked like for a lot of my life. Even though I was teaching it for decades, it had this very narrow script and it sounded something like, you're ugly. Well, that was not my hang up. I wasn't all that worried about my appearance. Not in that way.
No, but you were...
So I was so I was like, no, I don't have negative self-talk. Oh, I have plenty. I just didn't realize that the scripts I had were so internalized and so specific to me, kind of boiled down to you're not doing enough in some form or fashion, that they didn't sound like anything else I'd heard other people say. But I don't know. I don't know where I adopted this idea that negative self-talk was just like this one very narrow script. And so I challenge people a lot to say like, well, like, let's share some different scripts for this, because I think in doing so, we start to open our own perspective about some of the voices we might be hearing that we might not even recognize as that.
Wow. So when you're asking people to share these scripts, you're just asking them to kind of share their stream of consciousness with you, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Just like what is everything that you are thinking in this exact same moment? What are you really saying to yourself right now?
Or what are some of the things you've heard yourself say that limit your belief in yourself, right? And everybody has a different script for that.
Yeah.
And hearing that, I think, can help us see where we might be unconsciously, we have an unconscious awareness of what it is we're saying to ourselves and how harmful it can be.
And
that thing is often not the thing.
Yeah, no. And I feel like the gateway question to really help you unlock that is like, what is getting in my way here? Right. And we could point to like time, schedule. Nah, okay. But if you're working on a practice, right? Like if I use movement as my example, I could move any time of the day. Right. So it's not necessarily my schedule that's getting in the way, because there's time for that. So what is actually getting in the way? Right. And just even thinking about it, I can see where it goes much deeper than what I thought, because normally you stop at your first answer. Well, it's my schedule. No, bullshit. No,
that's a factor.
It's a factor. Absolutely. But it's not the real thing. Just not the whole thing, right? It's one slice of the pie, not the whole damn pie. Like you really do. And again, I feel like a broken record. We say this all the time, right? You have to keep asking yourself why until you get to the answer that doesn't bubble back up. What's the answer that just sits there? That's how you know, for me, I've gotten to that answer for that day. But it takes a lot of brain power to do that.
Yes. I also think it's fun to think about, like, to ask yourself, what are you imagining when you think of that thing? And to share the moments that come up for you when you think about walking, for instance. And so I'll use my own example here just to articulate this. 2 years ago, I was hurt and I couldn't run, which is what I had turned to for exercise since before I started my weight loss journey. It was the whole trigger for me being like a very sedentary person who thought nothing of my health, to sort of being like, huh, I could like create this new healthy life for myself over the course of a decade. And I fell in love with running. I did it fairly competitively as an adult. You know, it really was helpful to my brain and body. And then I was injured and I couldn't do it. And I knew that there was a lot of benefit to weightlifting, but I could not bring myself to do it. So I set up some structures that were helpful. I signed up for an app that gave me personal coaching. And I knew that sort of community of support, some expertise, in a way that wasn't super expensive, would make it a little more sustainable, but also give me more confidence. Because I knew that one of the things that kept coming up when I thought about it was, I don't know how to do it. The other story I kept telling myself is, I'm going to hurt myself. And I just had this like deep belief that this was going to injure me. Where did that come from? I don't know. I was way more injured more often from overrunning than I have been at all since I started weightlifting. So I was like, okay, this will help. So I go to the gym and I start in my little tiny building gym where occasionally there's one or two other people.
Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Berry Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to join us.
And I was like, okay, I kind of know what to do. I'll just keep Googling and YouTubing the exercises to get more info when I'm like, what do? I'm going to hurt myself. And so very slowly, I kind of got myself more comfortable with that. And every sort of like scary thought that came up, I would just text it to the coach and be like, this came up. And she'd be like, oh no, it's okay. You can do this. Right. And so I was building my knowledge, and I had to tell myself every day, you don't have to be an expert. You don't know how to do any of this yet. You are a newborn baby just learning how to crawl. And so I took the pressure off of myself to be an expert. And I just was like, okay, I'm going to suck at this. And like, that's the goal, is to just show up and be bad, because that's how I'm going to learn. And I was like, oh, I'm getting pretty good at this. I'm getting pretty confident. Well, then summer came and I couldn't go to my building's gym. So I had to go to like a gym. When I tell you, April, I cried every day in that gym.
Oh.
Every day. And I was like so freaked out by some, I don't know where it came from, belief that all the other people were looking at me going, Oh, that poor girl has no idea what she's doing. She's gonna hurt herself. I don't know why it always comes down to hurting myself. I don't know where that came from. I'll call a therapist. But I just really like, I was so overwhelmed by all these other bro-y, meatheady people in the room. I just like, I got so freaked out. So I just went up to the person at the front of the gym and I was like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to do this. Can you be my lifeline? And every time I have to touch a new machine, can I just come ask you a question? And the person was like, sure. They didn't care. But I did it. And I was like, I had to just say, I'm scared. And I had to just acknowledge that for myself. And I had to just acknowledge that what I was worried about was all these other voices. They were not paying attention to me. One person ever said anything to me. And it was a really good tip from some really sweet young woman who was like, I'm sorry, I don't know you, but I injured myself holding the bar this way one time. So if it's helpful, this is what I learned. And it was so great.
So kind. That's
So
kind.
kind. I felt so supported and encouraged. And I was learning so much more than I was learning in my basement in that safe space. But I needed that safe, like quiet space to kind of get myself over the like initial terror. And then I sort of expanded. And I can't say now that I could walk into a room of bros and feel like I'm a beast. But I do. And I'm still like a little shy in the gym. I don't really look at anyone, which is weird because I'm not a shy person, but I'm like, I just don't even want to make eye contact. But I know my way around what I know and I love it. And now I want to do it. But I am so thankful to myself every day when I go down there for showing up with that learner mindset, for allowing myself to not be good at it, to for expressing my fear, for setting up sources of support to ask questions and directly face the things that were in my mind stopping me. And I share that example because I it was so visceral to me. And it is, and I think it's something we all go through. We just don't necessarily give ourselves the space to learn.
I think it's because we think we don't deserve it, right? If this knowledge or if this confidence isn't innate, then we just assume
Right.
it's never going to be for
Right.
us.
I know
And
that's
that
so
is.
interesting. Women get that message more than anyone, right? So research has shown that we tell girls that if you're not good at something, there's a binary in there that you're either good at it or bad at it. But with boys, they've shown they're more likely to teach them that they can get better. And so I try to like, that's my real bro mindset is I'm like, okay, I don't know it now. I'm going to try to get better. I'm going to practice. I'm going to show up and see what happens. I'm going to experiment. I'm going to learn. I'm going to acknowledge that this is uncomfortable because I want to be good at things, but I'm not going to change if I'm only comfortable.
It's not where change happens. It's just not. And I think, I mean, what you just described, I can confidently say, I think every single bariatric patient has gone through before. And we are so terrified of being bad at our weight once again, even after we've onboarded a tool, right? That fear of failing, that fear of not losing the weight or of regaining the weight is so visceral and so built in. That fear keeps you paralyzed. It keeps you quiet, silent, isolated, right? All of those things that allow that continual negative talk to just breed and grow. And it really is when you said, just telling ourselves, I'm going to be bad at this. It's not a bad thing. We think being bad is a bad thing. It's not.
Just
Saying I'm
new.
going to be, it's just new. It's just new. Bad is not a good thing, and I can get better at this. But it takes a lot of bravery to say those things. And again, that community can be that light that we use to shine on those really dark places that we are afraid people are going to see and think that we're even worse than what we already think of ourselves. But it's like, no, the community can be that light that shines on those dark places so you can actually see it for what it is, which is something smaller than you, right? This worry, this fear, this anticipation that we build up in our minds over something is, again, not true. It's not factual. It's not real. But you just have to do it once to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I find so many of the things that we believe are truth are little seeds that were planted by some seventh grader. It was either that teacher in middle school or some mean kid. The kid's not even mean, let's be honest, but something a kid said that felt hurtful.
Yeah.
And then we carry that stuff around as truth. And so often when I ask people, like, why do you believe that? It comes back to these really old stories. And then we say, well, Joe Schmo, fourth grader, seventh grader, does he get to be in charge?
Yeah.
Most of them are like, right. I don't even know where that person is anymore.
Yeah. And yet they're living in your head rent free.
Yeah. And I have absorbed from them my entire identity and my sense of what's possible.
Yeah.
No.
And it really does, I guess, from where I'm sitting and listening and watching, a key to breaking through that is practices. It is just saying, this isn't true anymore. This doesn't have to be true anymore. And I can run some experiments and I can change the narrative.
Yeah, right? Practices just give us the space to pay attention and know what those voices are. So that we're not just acting out of habit.
Yeah. Holy moly. I feel like my brain got rewired in this conversation in the best possible way. This really was, like I said, that piece in this formula that I've been kicking around in my head. The math wasn't mathing until this conversation, truly, truly. What's the one thing you want to leave our friends, our followers, our listeners, our watchers with today when it comes to practices and to taking your life in a different direction?
I'm going to come back to what you said in the very beginning, those three words that you used to describe your community, which was kind, curious, and loving. We have absorbed through our society, many of us, a belief that punishment is the path to change. But this is not sustainable. We cannot lean all the way in and fully buy into change unless it's an act of kindness and curiosity and love. And so I think everything we're saying today is really just a reminder to pay attention to those places where we're being all mean and judgy. And to instead say, like, how might I learn my way into a little bit more love and learning? Might I show up for myself with the same curiosity and compassion that I show up for everyone and everything else that I care about?
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, for sharing your insights, for sharing your personal stories with us. It really is the key to unlocking a whole new life for ourselves. So just thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing. I tell my daughters all the time that the most important thing they can learn is to listen to their bodies.
Mm.
Right? Like, if you do that, it changes everything.
It does. Right? It truly.
Thank you for cultivating a community where we can all learn that together through, from, and with one another.
Yep. Yep. It is. We all need that place to connect, learn, and grow, right? We need that safe place to practice what this change is going to mean in our life. We all need it. Oh, well, if you are a member of the Berry Nation support community, or you are a supporter of this podcast, Ransis is going to continue on with us because we had a phenomenal question that came in from one of our community members. And he asks, My biggest question, if you believe like I do that motivation is a result of action, not the other way around, what's the best mindset change we can have or best first step in taking that action that's going to lead to motivation for us to take the next action? Phenomenal question that Aranza is going to answer for us, for our members and our supporters. If you'd like to become a member, or if you'd like to become a supporter of this podcast, we would love to have you in the community and supporting this podcast. You can visit berrynationpodcast.com or berrynation.mn.co to join us. Aransas, where can people follow you? Because I know after listening or watching this podcast, they're gonna be like, oh, okay, here's my next guru.
Oh, that's very sweet. I love to connect with people. My website is aransasavis.com, but the best place to follow my work is the uplifterspodcast.com.
It's one of my absolute new favorite podcasts. And like I was telling you earlier, you've been in my ear for the last several weeks, and it has done nothing but open new lines of thinking, help me shift my mindset, and really put me in a very positive mindset to make changes in my own life. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, if Jason was here, he would thank you for being a supporter. He would thank you for subscribing to the podcast. He would encourage you to share this episode with one person who you think would really benefit from it. But really, what he would say is, you've got this and we've got you. We'll see you next time, friends. Thanks for joining us, Aransas.
Thank you.